Hey, thanks.
Thanks.
In Ghana, the first conversation that anybody was interested in having with you was, what were your spiritual beliefs?
To be able to face America, because it is a big country.
And I remember the big dinosaur over the gasoline station.
So there are times when I'm having to navigate vast areas of the city.
To be able to face America.
And LA is very spread out.
I kept trying to find a comfortable way to lie down, and there was a hump in the middle.
Because it is a big country.
Welcome to Hitchhiking Off the Map. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller.
And we're back home after a recent trip to Philadelphia where we had the great pleasure of earning some money.
Yes. Well, we had a commission from the Seaport Museum to create a show for teenagers appropriate to the subject of the show here. We were talking about the journeys of immigrants.
And we've just been unpacking and having a reunion with all the trees we've missed and the cat and the blue jay. One of the most striking things, I guess, when we were doing research for the immigrants show was realizing how many times people were leaving their homes with not the remotest chance that they would ever see the stray cat again or their trees or their parents or their friends. You did not get frequent flyer miles.
And there we were putting this show together and having Philadelphia reunions with people we hadn't seen for a long time. And one had a new job, one was just finishing second grade, and one had very incredibly cute and demanding twins.
So our trips today are about reunions. We need to warn you. This is very silly. And there might be some redeeming social importance here that we may have not crushed out yet within a kind of reactionary sexist ritual paradigm. Of course, we're hip to that, so we're actually doing a deconstruction here, but it's also possible that it's just plain silly. And let it be said that we ourselves live in a town of only 7,000, so we don't intend to cast dispersions on small-town life, at least if that life is anything like Sebastopol, California.
But this, on the other hand, is Nixville.
Morning. Coffee?
Yes, a cappuccino and a croissant, please.
Huh?
A croissant? A French roll?
We got jelly donuts.
Very good. And a cup of coffee.
Coming up. You know, in Reader's Digest, they say where you grow earwax in your ears and it starts moving in on your brain.
That explains a great deal.
Huh?
Nothing.
Here's your coffee. Now, that's real good coffee. I make it good, not like Sylvia. Try it.
Yes, rather like Turkish coffee. Vigorous.
I put a lot of love into that coffee.
How long have you been making coffee professionally?
Ever since high school. See, what you do is you run it through the grounds, and then where most people drink it, you let it set there about 3 minutes at a steady boil.
Yes, excuse me, I must finish my notes.
Oh, that reminds me, give me your pencil. I got to write a note to Sylvia, order more of them donuts. That's 2 weeks old. You got hay fever or something? You spit on your glasses.
Madam, I do need to concentrate.
Oh, you know how to concentrate? Pretend you're a big rock and everything that hits you just dribbles off.
Thank you. Now, if you would please dribble off, I must work.
What? You call that work?
This is my work. I'm doing a guest lecture at the university.
You student?
I am a research scientist, social science research. I am delivering the Carruthers Memorial Lecture on the Dialectic Ontology of Cosmetics in Our Society.
Makeup?
Yes.
You wear makeup? People around here, man, they don't wear makeup unless they're funny. Are you funny?
No, I am not humorous.
Humorous?
A clown.
Are you a clown?
Please.
Oh, I get it. You're one of those college types come in, look down their nose at the local people.
I cannot see down my nose.
Well, don't spit on your glasses.
Madam, please, I myself grew up about 10 miles from here, so my roots are very much in a little town called Nixville.
Nixville? You grew up in Nixville?
Not so loud.
You didn't grow up in Nixville.
I assure you.
No, nobody that looks like you grew up in Nexville. What's your name?
Dr. Philpott. Philip Philpott.
Philip Philpott? You ain't Philip Philpott.
Dr. Philip Philpott.
Philip Philpott? You know what we used to call you?
Yes, I do.
You know who I am?
I seem to recall the squirrels of merriment.
Luciana.
Luciana Davis.
You got it.
Well, how do you do, Luciana? It's so good to see you. Yes,
how
yes.
The hell?
Oh, well, I'm doing very well. Yes, yes, I'm doing a lecture today. Great honor, the Carruthers Memorial.
Makeup? What the hell do you know about makeup?
Well, I have, in fact, published a number of studies
How
on...
How do you like my makeup?
It is ravishing, Luciana. Well, Luciana, it's so good to see you, this beautiful establishment, and your coffee. Could I have my check, please?
Philip Philpott.
Please.
P.P. Philpott.
Yes, the happy days of childhood. But I have made a name for myself. The highest academic circles know the name of...
P.P. Philpott.
And I am a member of several presidential commissions. You may have heard of the Philpott Commission's report on...
I'm sorry.
Quite all right, Lucy Bell.
You remember what they used to call me.
They called you many things.
Oh, Philip, the memories.
That was long ago. Nixville.
And you were a little devil. Mm. I remember a research project. You were 7 years old, little Betsy. Betsy's mother, I'll never forget that woman's high-pitched scream when she came in there.
You know, I once did a study on how children develop role differentiations.
Yeah,
through the
eighth grade, when the principal caught you and Gladys differentiating in the cloakroom.
We found that is a time of extreme behavioral instability.
And
that,
the high school picnic. That was my turn, Philip.
Yes, the good old days. Nixville. But we grow and change.
You married?
No. I am wedded to my research, and I had trouble finding a suitable person, my eyesight.
You saw a lot more of the girls in Nixville than anybody else ever saw.
And we learned to channel our energies to produce concrete results that...
Kevin, you never produced any results.
There are the observers of life, and there are the participants, and I have found myself gradually content to observe, to quantify, synthesize.
You little synthesizer, you.
And we do not understand adequately how in the process of maturation there are behavioral traits which may limit socioeconomic status and mobility and which therefore gradually diminish.
I've been carrying a torch for you, Philip, for 20 years.
Yes, how time flies. And I must be off. How much do I owe?
You go do your lecture, and then you stay over with me. I got a big bedroom.
Thank you. They've provided a suite that is more suitable to my research needs than a guest bedroom.
Nobody said nothing about a guest bedroom.
Luciana.
I told you. I carried a torch, Philip. Now, you tasted my coffee, so you know something about me. 3 minutes.
At a steady boil. No, Lucy Bell. Yes, I mean, no. Yes, indeed, no. There was a very interesting study how people say yes when they mean no, and I do mean yes, I mean no. Lucy Bell... Through long nights, I have researched, indexed, filled hundreds of pages. Yet underneath it all, I am the same little Philip that you knew and loved. I will go, and I will be back.
I know you will.
You have my word.
I got more than that. I got your books. If the one instinct don't bring you back, Philip, the other will.
Lucy Bell.
Well, this is Hitchhiking Off the Map, I have to admit. Thanks to John Yule for engineering that thing. And that's one of those ancient pieces from our youth.
Yeah, we created a show with students at the University of Delaware, and this came out of one of their improvisation. It was brilliantly performed by two students.
Not this time around. This was us.
Well, no, I have to say, I'm sorry. It was us.
But the students were Karen Fox, who's in Arizona now, and Gary Pagano, who is a wonderful singer around Wilmington, Delaware, or thereabouts. It's all kind of a blur. Yes, that is a silly piece. I guess I'm fond of it, though, because I still have that ancient memory of that little moment of triumph. You know, wow, I escaped my hometown.
Yeah, so we want to make our weekly pitch for stories, your stories, about trips, journeys, travels, pilgrimages.
Junkets, excursions, rocket launches. Email us. The address is info@independenteye.org. Maybe stories about meeting long-lost acquaintances or high school reunions.
Did you ever have the urge to attend your high school reunion?
Not really. There are people that I would very, very much like to see, but I wouldn't expect to see them at the reunion. I did meet one woman after a show a few years ago in Washington, D.C., and it brought back memories of some wonderful evenings playing ping pong. Hello, Judy.
Reunions. Well, this next piece is fiction. But it comes out of my own long search for my birth mother, about whom I only know her name, Mary Fuller. Are you listening, Mama Mary? And who knows if she's still alive, but one has fantasies, from the sublime to the ridiculous. And this piece is from a longer show we did a while back called Love Play.
We've added a little prologue, inspired by what normally precedes any anticipated meeting, sheer terror.
This is...
I didn't realize they wouldn't speak English. I didn't realize it was this far. I didn't realize it was so huge.
Entirely.
I didn't understand exactly what would be expected. I didn't anticipate mosquitoes.
Different.
I had no idea what they were really saying. I didn't pack for this weather.
I wasn't aware of the extra charges. I didn't plan for a change in plans.
What we expected.
I want pretty much what I have. I want a good job, which I have. Computers, wouldn't you know? And I want, politically, I guess I don't need the entire feminist agenda right in my cereal bowl by Tuesday, but I just want a sense of moving forward, get rid of the fungus. And I want a sometimes placid, sometimes passionate relationship. This guy, I could never have imagined. But also then, I want a kind of quiet, run-down old place to live. I could be a successful tree. Flowers on my fingers, mementos carved in the bark, big branches to climb in, couple birdhouses, right brain, left brain. So with all this, why on earth I felt I needed to complicate my life by delving into the past, opening up God knows what... I guess I want...
I want surprises.
You put it off for 2 weeks.
Three. Okay. Phone call, then supper.
Eggplant?
Ratatouille. So, after I say hello.
Hi, Mom. Guess who? Just do it. Really.
Tim, I don't need encouragement. I'm Sorry, hon. No, yes, I do. Okay. Okay.
So, do you want me to stay in the room?
You were gonna fix that cabinet drawer. Oh, God, I lost the number.
This?
Oh. I think the problem is there are no right angles.
Liddy Sherman, Lifestyle Realty.
Lydia?
This is Liddy Sherman.
Liddy. Hi, you don't know me, but I got your name from... I'm sorry, this is...
Hey, in the market for a house?
No, I, am.
Well, look, I've got a lot more credit cards than I really need, so if this is a solicit...
I've been trying for a long time, and I got your name. You give birth to a daughter in June of 1970.
Who is this?
I'm looking for my natural mother, and I think you might be her.
What's your birth date?
June 5th, 1970.
Where were you born?
Brooklyn.
What do you look like?
Oh, well, I have thick, curly, sort of reddish-brown hair, and... freckles and big eyes, and I'm sort of muscular. I have size 11 feet.
Oh my God.
Oh. Tim?
Are you alive in here?
I did it. I'm going to see her tomorrow. She sells real estate. Oh, hold on to me. Tim? I think...
Is that...
Oh, what you smell is what used to be the eggplant.
Janelle, my daughter called me. My daughter. Yes. Her name is Melia. She found me. Can you believe it? She lives in Baltimore. She works in computers. We're meeting at the park at 10 in the morning, and she has size 11 feet. And I said, well, I knew you probably existed, but I didn't. And she said, I don't want this to be disruptive to your life. And I said, well, this is amazing, and this is wonderful. What happens now?
Surprises. Are you Liddy?
Melia?
Hi.
Hi.
Want some party mix? I snack a lot.
Sure. Sit on the bench. So dumb, I was going to say, how old are you?
How old are you?
53.
Wow, you don't look it.
Yeah, I do. This is what it looks like on me.
Nice park. You live near here?
Yeah, block down the road. It's great. Been here 5 years. Before that in Baltimore, but I sold properties out on the Eastern Shore. But I thought, no, I need crowds and traffic. I would go nuts in peaceful. And then I got a call on this place, kind of a beat-up shingle place, blue mailbox. Bought it for the mailbox. And I should report that I didn't sleep a lot last night. Up at 7, drank about 6 cups of coffee, as you can tell. But I'm always supposed to be so good in a situation like this. I mean, just being funny and talkative and put everybody at ease and, oh, my God. Are you as terrified as I am?
Almost. So, anyway, how I found you. I've been looking for a long time. You know, it's a peculiarity of New York records. They're sealed at adoption, but they keep the number of the actual birth certificate. And through that, I got my family name, and it's a tangle, but eventually your name. And then I was converting data banks out of a mailing list outfit. I work with computers. And I spent coffee breaks cracking a few security codes. The fact is that no one presently alive is not in there someplace. And it just blew my mind that you're on the Eastern Shore. I mean, 45 minutes away.
Do you have kids?
No.
You hate what I did?
I don't know. No, I have my parents. They are very sweet people. I love them a lot. Although we don't communicate real well. They see me as kind of bizarre. They still haven't recovered from Hakim. Previous relationship. It wasn't so much the racial thing as it was the tattoos. Party mix. And, why I started looking. I don't know, you get past 30, should I start thinking about kids? And what if I got pregnant and they say, any history of this or that in the family, and what family? Gosh, is there anything you've always wanted to know about computers?
Could I please hug you? Not yet, huh?
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's hey, it's okay.
But I, having met you, I would like to. I don't know, get to know you and...
You know that one of the most devastating things in my life... Oh, really, lady. Was to sign my name on that paper. And I remember it every time I sign a check. But it's scary how fast you can chicken out. Yeah, I thought of keeping you. And then the jaws closed and I did the sensible thing. And it's kind of how fast I mostly forgot all about it.
So you sell houses?
Yeah. Yep, I sell houses. And things are pretty boring on the Eastern Shore. No big surprises.
I wasn't sure what to expect. I'm still not sure.
I can see the resemblance. Hey, look, I know this sounds anticlimactic, but I've been drinking coffee all morning. And I have to pee something fierce. The house is just a block away. Do you have to go?
Yeah, sure. I mean... Yeah. Liddy, I am very, very happy that I found you. And I would like to get to know you. I said that. To have you in whatever capacity, some part of my life. Is that something that you would be interested in?
Don't you chicken out.
We went on from there. Lots of surprises. I guess I wanted it to be a big thing, sure, but like something you put in a box and take out when you feel like it. Nothing that upsets the apple cart or really changes things. It's an interesting story. But I don't tell it. I would tell it to friends and they'd ask, well, what happened? What happened? Like, that would prove that I was smart to do it or dumb to do it. But it could have gone so many ways. You could imagine a dozen different ways. So I just tell the first part. And then I let it be those dozen stories, instead of shrinking it down to one. My trip was to the telephone, and then to the park, and then to whatever you want to imagine. And that's my story.
Joining Elizabeth in Love Play were Randy Ellis as Tim and Lauren Waters as Melia.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map, a production of The Independent Eye. For CDs of our shows, visit our website at www.independenteye.org.
Where we now have our program archive on the website. You can listen to all our shows in stereo, sitting there at the computer and putting off doing your work. Or anytime, middle of the night. It's free. And, of course, we hope you will think, hey, these programs would make a great gift for some of my more unusual friends. And buy a CD so we can continue to feed all the wildlife.
Hitchhiking is supported, slightly, by the National Endowment for the Arts.
And by Silent Prayer and by the Hitchhikers Guild. That can be you. We're not soliciting commercial sponsors right now. You know, when I was a kid in Council Bluffs, Iowa, there was a young kind of comic announcer on Omaha TV. It had his own show, and it was the Johnny Carson, but it wasn't right. He wasn't the Johnny Carson yet. And he had a show that I didn't think was funny at all, but it came right after Howdy Doody, and so I watched everything. I watched the cooking show, but he didn't have a sponsor. He needed a sponsor or they would can him, and so he decided to solicit a sponsor by letting his beard grow until he got a sponsor. Now, this was Omaha in the 1950s when the only time guys wore beards were for the town centennial. But, you know, I could try that. It's hard to make that effective on radio.
Oh, well, you could make it real by scratching your stubble on the mic.
So join the Hitchhikers Guild. Information by emailing info@independenteye.org.
And join us for our next show. A man climbs Mount Everest without ever leaving his desk, but he does find it hard to get back. This is Elizabeth Fuller.
This is Conrad Bishop, offering the disclaimer that indulging in hazardous endeavors, such as life, is entirely at your own risk.
You know, there's no accidents. There are absolutely no accidents, and I've really come to believe that over the time.
It was one of those mileposts in your life. You know that after the next 20 minutes, you know, your life is going to change, and it's going to change significantly.
There's a reason. I just personally feel there's a reason.